KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Clue, a walking mystery, an immersive experience on the campus of UC San Diego. Now open through September 28th. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Friday, August 29th. Researchers make a huge confirmation around Tijuana River pollution. More on that next, but first, let's do the headlines. Governor Gavin Newsom yesterday announced he's deploying new CHP crime suppression teams to several regions, including San Diego. At a press conference, Newsom pointed to the success of a similar approach in Oakland and said his plans differ from President Trump's controversial National Guard deployments.
We're doing it in partnership with our local communities. We did it in partnership with the Biden administration prior. We're not talking about the nationalization, the militarization of the Guard and militarizing United States cities.
State officials said that statewide in 2024, property crime fell 8.5% and violent crime dropped 4.5%. But Newsom stressed that, quote, good enough never is. There are 35 new automated chest compression machines in some of the county's ambulances and helicopters. The San Diego County Fire Protection District announced the upgrade yesterday. The new machines are simpler to use. They surround a person's chest and squeeze it repeatedly, increasing the blood and oxygen going to the brain during cardiac arrest. Each machine costs $23,000. Officials say the machines ensure uninterrupted, high-quality chest compressions while a patient is being transported, ultimately increasing their chance of survival. Throw on your walking shoes as the Coast Walk Trail in La Jolla is open again as of today. As reported by Times of San Diego, the nonprofit that supports the trail's upkeep just wrapped up a $125,000 repair to the bridge on the trail. Friends of Coast Walk Trail was founded to restore and preserve the over half-mile trail, whose history dates back over 9,000 years to its original use by Native Americans. It became a formal trail in 1932 and a San Diego Historic Landmark in 1990. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
Hi, I'm Dr. Rachel Jans, Associate Curator of Modern and Contemporary Art at the San Diego Museum of Art. We're presenting a landmark exhibition of Eduardo Chiida, a visionary sculptor who transformed the way we think about form, space, and material. Eduardo Chiida, Convergence, is the most expansive U.S. presentation of the artist's work in nearly 50 years, bringing together monumental sculptures, delicate works on paper, and a virtual reality experience of his iconic Comb of the Wind installation on the Basque coast of Spain. Eduardo Chiida Convergence is on view now through February 8, 2026 at the San Diego Museum of Art in Balboa Park. Learn more at sdmaart.org.
For the first time, researchers say they've confirmed pollution in the Tijuana River is in the air people breathe. They're connecting the pollutants to symptoms like headaches, nausea, and breathing issues. Scripps Institution of Oceanography researchers led the study published this week in the journal Science. The study linked those symptoms to toxic gases like hydrogen sulfide in the air. Kim Prather is a co-author and Scripps professor. She says the community helped researchers identify a hotspot in the river where pollutants become airborne.
They started talking, you know, to the community and hearing all of their experiences of headaches, nausea, they can't sleep, they have anxiety. And so this community just sort of, they sort of triangulated the conversation and said, why are you at the ocean? It's over here. And they helped my group find what we now refer to as the hotspot.
San Diego County Supervisor Paloma Aguirre is calling on the Regional Water Board and the county to fix the hotspot as quickly as possible. San Diego community colleges are raising the alarm over a lawsuit filed by conservative activists in Tennessee. Reporter Corey Suzuki says it's targeting federal support for colleges that serve Latino students.
The lawsuit was filed in June by the conservative activist group Students for Fair Admissions, the same group that sued Harvard, leading the Supreme Court to strike down affirmative action. This time, the group is targeting a federal program called the Hispanic Serving Institutions, which gives grants to colleges where more than a quarter of students identify as Latino.
Every one of our colleges in this region is federally designated as a Hispanic Serving Institution, or HSI.
Mark Sanchez is the superintendent of Southwestern College in Chula Vista. At a press conference yesterday, he said their federal funding goes to support a variety of programs.
Expanding STEM curriculum and healthcare programs, strengthening advising and retention, and building the workforce that California and the San Diego region depends on.
Officials said the lawsuit targets more than $15 million in federal funding for community colleges in San Diego and Imperial County. Southwestern alone receives around $4.5 million. Late last month, the Department of Justice said they would not defend the Hispanic Serving Institution program in court, leaving its future unclear. In Chula Vista, Corey Suzuki, KPBS News.
Since last summer, it's become almost impossible to pursue asylum in the U.S. President Joe Biden limited access in June 2024, and President Donald Trump essentially terminated the program this year. Reporter Gustavo Solis profiles one man trying to navigate the system.
Last summer, migrants from all over the world crossed the border in San Diego. There were so many that Border Patrol agents dropped dozens of them off at a San Ysidro Transit Center every day. The county's emergency migrant shelter had shut down. It ran out of money, leaving them with nowhere to stay. That's when Ruth Mendez met Luis. She's an immigrant advocate, and he's a South American asylum seeker. We're withholding his last name to protect him from retaliation both here and in his home country.
I remember meeting Luis for the first time getting off of one of the buses that at the time was when Border Patrol was releasing people.
Luis became homeless, spent a week sleeping in the airport until he found temporary housing at a local Catholic church. Still, he decided to help other migrants who struggled to find a place in San Diego. Mendez says that having someone like Luis there gave advocates instant credibility.
And really tell people, hey, I was in your position. These folks are actually like truly trusted. You know, if you want, you can follow her. You're going to go to the airport for free.
Luis's year-long case spans one of the most uncertain times in the history of the U.S. asylum system. He arrived in August 2024, soon after the Biden administration bowed to political pressure and placed strict limits on asylum. And his case remains ongoing after the Trump administration essentially stopped the asylum process and began arresting people at their immigration court hearings. Melissa Crow is the director of litigation at the Center for Gender and Refugee Studies, which has sued both the Biden and Trump administrations.
They have peeled back the rights of asylum seekers like an onion.
Crow says that back in June 2024, Biden made all migrants who crossed the border illegally presumed ineligible for asylum. Previously, everyone who entered the country had equal access to the asylum system, no matter how they entered. Then, in his first days in office, Trump cracked down even harder.
These restrictions that we've been talking about, the circumvention of lawful pathways rule and the securing the border rule, in most cases take asylum off the table.
Fortunately for Luis, he entered the country before Trump's crackdown, so he could still try to pursue an asylum claim. But by the time he got to see a judge, Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents were arresting people at immigration courts. Mendez was worried about Luis, so she offered to go to the San Diego Immigration Court with him.
At the beginning of the week, we heard of LA Immigration Courts, San Francisco Immigration Courts, having ICE inside the courtrooms, and so that was really worrying.
Luis did not see any ICE agents in the courtroom, but when he left to go to the bathroom, he saw the hallway was full of them.
Pues me asomé y estaban todos ahí esperando en fila.
He remembers thinking how odd this was. It's as if the federal government wants people to abandon their cases.
Le quita mucha credibilidad a los procesos acá porque uno dice, bueno, yo quiero hacer algo, entonces para qué me pongo a hacer las cosas bien.
Luis was among the first to be arrested in San Diego's immigration court. Local immigration lawyer Tracy Crowley met him at the courthouse on the day of his arrest. She was blown away by how well-prepared Luis was for his asylum claim, but that was still not enough to keep him out of detention.
He completed everything they asked him to do, and he showed up when he was supposed to show up, and that's exactly why they targeted him, because they knew where he would be.
Luis saw his imprisonment at the Otay Mesa Detention Center as a particularly cruel irony. He was a political dissident in his home country and fled specifically to avoid being jailed. Despite having a strong asylum claim, Luis thought about giving up.
And so it was very difficult to keep his spirits up and to keep him motivated because I knew I could get him out on bond. And I knew he had a really strong asylum case.
Luis says he felt like a robot during his time at Otay Mesa. An endless and mindless routine of eating, sleeping, and waiting.
Ahí es feo, porque se vuelve uno como un muñeco, como un robot.
He says the men there are miserable, that it's common to hear them cry themselves to sleep at night. And the guards are constantly pressuring detainees to sign voluntary departure forms and abandon their cases. But after 6 weeks, Crowley secured his release on bond. Luis is still pursuing a political asylum claim and is due back in court, the same place he was arrested just a few months ago, in September. Gustavo Solis, KPBS News.
The San Diego company General Atomics celebrated their shipment of a device that they hope will make nuclear fusion possible. SciTech reporter Thomas Fudge tells us about fusion energy and the world's most powerful magnet.
This magnet is the size of a 5-story building, and it's powerful enough to lift a battleship out of the water. It's also strong enough to contain incredibly hot fusion reactions in an international fusion plant located in France. Energy from nuclear fusion has been an elusive goal, but now seems within reach. It brings the promise of virtually limitless clean energy at a time when demand for energy is rocketing upward. John Smith is a senior director of engineering at General Atomics.
Everything that we're doing today says our electricity demand in the world is only going to go up. That's why fusion is needed. You need to have some type of clean, limitless energy source to power the future of the world.
Executives at General Atomics say nuclear fusion energy could become a reality in the 2030s. Thomas Fudge, KPBS News.
And last, but definitely not least, it's almost Labor Day, and in America's finest city, there's always something to do. So I put together a list of events for just about all of us. For the fitness fanatics, there is a Labor Day run at Liberty Station on Saturday, starting bright and early, of course, at 7:30 a.m. You have the choice of a 5K, 10K, or half marathon. For the kiddos, there is kids yoga for ages 4 through 12 with poses taking place at the 4S Ranch Library this Saturday at 11 a.m. For the Sherlock in your life, there's a self-guided Balboa scavenger hunt that'll have you solving puzzles as you explore new sites. There is also a Labor Day rally and march taking place on Monday starting at 10 a.m. at Waterfront Park. Happy Labor Day, everybody. That is it for the pod today. This podcast was edited by Quinn Owen and Brooke Ruth. This podcast is hosted and produced by me, Lawrence K. Jackson. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
Hello, this is Dr. Michael Lalage, Medical Director and Chief of Staff for Kaiser Permanente San Diego. For more than 50 years, San Diegans have entrusted their health care to us. Our care and coverage connect to provide medical care tailored to each member. With our integrated network of primary and specialty care, we work together using evidence-based medicine to help deliver positive results. We believe in a healthy and engaged life with good beginnings and dignified endings. We believe that life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness requires total health, including equal access to high-quality, affordable health care. At Kaiser Permanente, our cause is health. Our passion is service. We work to help make lives better. To learn more, visit kp.org/San Diego.